This is episode 353 of the Gold Squadron podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Will. Adepticons transform, Hegwood. And tonight, I'm joined by Marcel. My dice bring all the boys to the yard. My dice are hotter than yours, or not hotter than yours, Manzano.
It's too many words to read all at once. I get it.
We have Ryan, delivery man, Staniszewski.
Just delivering the cookies the people ordered and the cookies that people get from Worlds, so you're welcome.
Yeah, how did that go? Just a quick aside.
I thought they were delicious.
I think pretty successful.
And well, everyone thought they were I yummy. Know that they were delicious, but...
Well, I had four cookies within the first hour, and I was a little bit, like... it hit me.
There's a limit. There's a record... Yeah, recommended so dosage.
More than 1 hour is probably not.
Look, I recently thought about if Sarah makes a business card on the back, she should put a disclaimer saying we are not responsible for any overdosing of our cookies.
In Spanish,
I'll skip the what?
In Spanish, we say empalagado, like when you have too much sugar and then you just kind of like. Off.
That's one way to put it. Let me tell you. Anyways, we also have James. I'm gonna be a pumpkin, Ritter.
I stayed out way too late, and just all of the nights way too late, and turning into pumpkin at midnight.
I apologize for having too much fun.
That's what you should put up for your nickname this week. Too much fun, Hagwood.
You know who I'm not going to apologize about, though? That's the biggest group of our supporters. That's right, the GSP Patreons. They really, you know, we can't thank them enough. I don't have the ability to tell each and every one of you I love you. But made the weekend possible. So if you are a Patreon and you're listening to this, thank you so much. But for everybody else who wants to be on that thank you list and would like to see us continue our amazing tradition of going to these in-person events, you got to check out patreon.com/goldsquadron. Now, that out of the way, I think we got a lot of other people to thank for the weekend. We're, of course, talking Worlds. A little casual chat here. We're going to check on the people who actually played in the Top Cut as well. Maybe reminisce about some of the highlights of the weekend. But I think we got to start before we share our own stories. Our list of thank yous. Asmodee, and especially, obviously, Atomic Mass Games. Everybody who works for Atomic Mass Games really made the whole experience. They were on site, they had this huge HQ set up, amazing prize wall, they were checking on individually with the games at all times, the different events going on, and of course, for us, as the streamers, we got to interact with them quite a bit. They were always checking in, making sure that things were going good, always having some surprise for us. We did not request extra prizes for giveaways, but Dion was compelled by their generosity, to say the least, to make sure that those get shipped out to people who could not attend the event. So we did end up giving away some GSP Worlds boxes from the stuff that they gave us, and Dion said that he was going to sprinkle in some extras that we've had from previous events, world qualifiers and things like that. So that was very awesome to meet and interact with each one of them. But who else should we be thanking for the weekend?
For sure, I just wanted to piggyback off of your call out and specifically name out the couple of AMG employees that really took it above and beyond, and that was Anne and Andrea. Both of them were constantly very attentive to the stream table and making sure that we had everything we need anything and everything that we would ever want or need. So for sure, they were very helpful, and cannot thank them enough. Yeah. But also, I feel like the judging staff was particularly on point this year. And man, they put out a challenge to the community of, you know, if you have if your ship is going close to an obstacle, call us and help us do that maneuver for you.
What was Chris's quote? Could you quote Chris? Your opponent does not have your best interests in mind.
Yes, yeah, that was said multiple times throughout the weekend. Your opponent does not have your That's best hilarious. Interest in mind, and they will do whatever they can within the rules.
Your opponent wants to be world championship or world champion too. That's great.
Exactly.
A lot of great quotes came from Chris this over the weekend.
So the judge staff were constantly just sprinting around the hall, and there were at times, you know, people with multiple hands up for a judge, and they made sure to get to each and every one of them in a timely manner.
Yeah, very smooth. The day one administrative was a lengthy process, but from what I understand, no major issues throughout the entire 4 days of the event. So,
yeah, the X-Wing caddy on stream was particularly hot.
Don't even get me started on how gracious they were about doing maneuvers for anybody who asked. They were willing. Yes, yeah. Let us help you.
At several points in the stream, the two players were just sitting on chairs watching the two judges move ships for them.
That was an extreme example. But
I do want to specifically call out like the judges like by name because I went through and double checked my list. Like so, Chris Allen, Tim Horsberg, Josh Taylor, Chris Mitchell, Chris Sheriff, Kaylin Wong, Andrew Lewinsky, and Pete Lambro. They all did amazing work. They even said they might have accidentally course corrected the like challenge to the community a little too far for how many judges they had. But they said they'd rather the community challenge them too far than not far enough. I think Chris and a lot of the judges generally would prefer you to have a judge call than not have a judge call and then wish you called the judge later type of thing.
That's the ultimate regret, right? It was just like, man, why did I just say okay to that guy? Like, right? Like, why did I just let him do that?
Why did I just do that? Yeah. Like, I think there were they had described at times there were some people who like had just started calling judges for almost every move. Like that there were some moves that like they would walk up and look at the table and you know, check with the players what need to be done. And then, you know, they would help. They'd kind of scratch their heads internally and be like, they probably didn't need me for this one. This is probably, you know, no, tally up the ones that we probably didn't need to be called for. But still, rather call too much than not enough. Because obviously they wanted to feel the players were comfortable and never felt like they were doing something without a judge around that might have wished they did have a judge around.
Yeah. The only caveat on top of that, because you said one of them is like the number of judges to the number of, there was 155 tables or so. So the number of judges and how tight the space was to the number of judge calls probably made it a little bit difficult. And it also,
311 players. What'd you name off? Seven judges?
It's eight judges to 311 players.
Yeah, so it's a ton. And then, you know, just usually when you're having judges come because there's bumper, you know, bumps and, you know, like tight things, it probably means you're having a messy game. What I mean by messy game, I don't mean like you're misplacing stuff like that. It just means that you have like three arcs and everything is bumping everything. And so you're already probably playing very low number of rounds if you're having. So that's one aspect of it I think that we should also just think about is that especially on those tables where there was a lot of judge calls and there were players that were sitting down on the on the chairs, and the judges were playing while the players were setting dials and the judges were doing the maneuvers. Those type of situations did probably impact the number of rounds. So just be my. If it's a one forward, you don't need a judge, okay? If you're bumping forward, set a range two ruler and just bump it forward. Like, you don't need a judge for everything. And two, if you feel like you're only playing 3 rounds or 4 rounds and then the game's over because there was a judge call, Chris did say, hey, if we're constantly at your table, ask for more time, we'll give you more time. Do that. Because you do want to make sure that you play complete games and not just like a 3 round game, because there was just so much non extracurricular stuff going on.
I can only
Yeah,
speak for the
don't forget those
stream
time
table.
extensions.
That the stream table did get time extensions. There was this one, when appropriate, obviously. There was this one health Gina, who was like, okay, she missed the rock, then like, who does she bump into? Because they're like, it was inappropriate, but like, man, they made sure that that was accurate, because like, she had to avoid a rock, and she had to avoid a friendly, and did she bump into? Did she, oh, if she didn't overlap the friendly, does her base end up being pushed back to the friendly? And there was a lot riding on this maneuver, which ended up working out for Gina after some intricate measurements. But that,
Yeah, and for possibly Gina's. Oh, I think she was stressed though, wasn't she?
she was stressed, yeah.
Yeah,
But
okay. I was gonna say
the
for that
important
buff
part was
hook and fade.
the range one attack that she did or did not get against an initiative who is lower than her, right? Like, there was so many factors going to just trickle down to her if, like, oh, she hit the rasteroid, like, and then we just instantly split off into another timeline. So, like, things like that did have necessary. So if you were watching the stream, you're like, why is there so many judges? There was a lot of tight maneuvers. So I would say for the most part, it was, how do I describe it? Necessary, I guess, to offer up judges to do those extreme maneuvers. But no, I think for most play, yeah. If you're like, if you lined it, in normal play, it's probably fine
Yeah, if you
to
line it up in
be
normal play, and
confident
again,
in
if you're
yourself.
feeling like you're not getting enough rounds in, and it's because judges are at the table, I mean, it's kind of like after the fact, it's hindsight 2020, but
Yeah.
future tournaments, if that's a concern for you, call it out on the spot. Say, hey, you've been here 3 times. Can we get an extra round after your call?
Fair, fair. That's again, have these conversations with your judges. They're supposed to be your best friend. That's the welcoming impression that the World's team was able to give, I
I
think,
thought they're
hopefully
supposed to
every
be the
player.
bad guys. I thought they're
No,
the ones you yell at.
no,
I thought they're putting themselves
no.
in the. So you yell at them so you don't yell at your opponent.
Yeah, they can take it, right? They're hardened warriors of the battlefield, but your opponent may not be. So, yeah. They're supposed to be there to help, and I agree though that hopefully every player felt like Worlds was a welcoming event, not just from the other players, but also from the officiating staff, which can be daunting, especially like there's a lot of players first Worlds, a lot of players first conventions, like a first like. Wow, I've never seen this many X-Wing games going on at once. So it can be very intimidating. So really, really awesome job, Chris, taking point on that, trying to be very personable, very welcoming to those judge calls.
And I
Any,
might
any
also add, Chris looks good.
needs a haircut, but
He does need a haircut, but good job on like getting himself fit.
No,
So that's always
that
important.
was
Oh yeah,
that's a great
good job.
mention. Who else? Any other thank yous? I got one more, but I want to hit up your guys's.
Oh, I got a personal thank you.
Sure.
So, we kind of paid me back for. So I picked a couple people up at the airport on my way to driving to Chicago. One of them was Stephen Kim, aka Rathos, makes Yasby, and then the other gentleman was Philip Karash. Philip said, "Hey, thanks for picking me up. If you need anything over the weekend, like, let me know." Immediately. In the middle or after Worlds prep, I was like, this is the first time I had ever did calorie counting or going to Worlds while calorie counting. So I've been on like kind of sort of a diet thing where I double check my intake, make sure I'm not overeating throughout the days. And I also have a Garmin watch that tells me my calories burned, plus plenty of other things, steps, heart rate, et cetera, right?
Wow.
Nice. After looking at that combined information after the first day of Worlds prep, I'm like, Philip, I know what I need, and that is more food for the next couple days. Because almost consistently, if I played X-Wing for four more rounds, beyond, so your body naturally burns about 2,000 calories, barring, you know, your height, weight, et cetera, et cetera. I was burning on average 4,000 more calories playing X-Wing. People would think like, wow, that's crazy. You're not really moving that much. Like, you are standing for a lot of time. Your heart rate increases, your stress level goes up, your brain is like firing neurons like crazy everywhere, burning calories. Like, I have learned, and well, not learned, I knew you needed fuel to play X-Wing.
Right.
By God, you need a lot more fuel than I think a lot of people realize. By the end of Thursday, I was like in the negatives for how many calories I burned, for how many calories I put into me. So, Philip, as awesomely, literally the next day was like, here's a sandwich, here's some trail mix, here's this, here's that. And I was like, you, Phil, you are awesome. Thank you very much. So that's my thank you is to Philip. And a reminder to everyone, even if you don't have like trackers or whatnot, just be aware, your body needs a lot of fuel when you play X-Wing in a major event. Even if it's just like five rounds in one day, you're probably burning like 5,000 calories in total for an entire day. So when we eat those big dinners later, you'll refresh yourself back, but you still need to refresh yourself during the day. So have plenty of snacks that you can keep in your bag and fuel yourself back up, along with staying hydrated.
Yeah, we mentioned those snacks before, and you doubted that you should only bring full meal bars, but maybe we should.
I can go back through my, like, history of like everything I ate the days I played at Worlds. It is a lot of food. Don't underestimate how much fuel your body burns while playing X-Wing. It's a lot. And I can only imagine how much more the judges were for running around.
I believe it. Shout out to all the X-Wing caddies out there, you know what I mean?
I had one more, and that was for Grand Admiral patrons. Specifically, we had Lambolo serving us up some great food multiple evenings. So, very much appreciated. And
big shout out to Lambolo.
Yeah, thank you for coming out, and always doing us right, Lambolo.
Marcel, are we missing anybody? Like I said, I got one more, but
I'll let you guys have your opportunity. Well, I
got a million, but... honestly, fair.
But like, in like special thanks in terms of what, like, I think...
Just the event, just thrown out. I mean, I think we covered the, obviously...
If you're talking about staffing and stuff like that,
just anybody who made your experience better.
Level, yeah, it's Kayla, of course. Like,
okay, yeah.
I mean, she was my, I think I called her my, in my recap post, my partner in nerd. I mean, she's the only person that was by my, you know, that I was with, like, 99.9% of the time. Ladies can't go in the men's room. So yeah, I mean, definitely Kayla. I think this for her, this World Championship kind of like reinvigorated her, and she left a little bit unfulfilled, like wanting to play more because she didn't make day two. She didn't make Saturday. She went 2 and 3. So she wanted to play Saturday, and then we were expecting to play Sunday. She wanted to play the Swiss. She had signed up. But we went to Babcock's party on Saturday night, and I left the X-Wing bag at John's house, so Kayla couldn't play Sunday because I had left all our X-Wing stuff at John's house. So that was on me. But anyway, like, I know she was really excited about X-Wing after this. She just, you know, kind of got reinvigorated to want to play more and do better and play a better list. She played ARCs, and she's said it was the most boring thing she's ever played in her life. So she wanted to throw some X-Wings around. But yeah, that's my special thanks is Kayla. Just not only does, you know, you hear so many people saying like, oh, my wife points, I got to save up wife points to go to that. Like I accumulate wife points by I use up wife points by not going to tournament. When we go to LVO, when we go to tournaments, that's when I accumulate my wife points. So I'm in a lucky spot. So I'm lucky for that.
Yeah, I get a weird feeling. As long as it's an event I can drive to, I will start accumulating wife points because I'm selling her cookies.
I did. I guess I have two more. Obviously, all the players on stream, thank you so much for dealing with the red tape and hoops that we made them all jump through. It really...
There were some hoops. There were some red tape.
It really was a lot, and we did apologize for the amount of hoops we were dealing with at the time. But most players... I think I would say all players were happy to be on stream, accommodating. I know you guys wanted to use your tokens and templates and stuff. Trust me, we would have loved to see them, but the rules are the rules, and you know what? And I would probably say that for the whole stream. I know there was for the viewers as well. Obviously, we could be talking to nobody, but in addition to the players. The people viewing. It was a roller coaster of emotions the whole weekend. So again, that kind of segue. I'm glad to have you guys there. People were able to view it live, join in with that chat. But special shout out. Well, obviously the whole GSP team. You guys, boom, boom. You and you, I think, is how my mirrored camera's going. And everyone here, obviously did a fantastic job. It's so great to see everybody in their clothes. But my special shout, Jason, I honestly didn't know how much we needed you during the event, and Grimwolf stepped it up. He couldn't, like, what do I say? He always wanted to help. I just love that. And like I said, moderating, being our gopher, our sideline reporter. Like I said, he made the event, and we don't think of enough. So if you see Grimwolf in the chat, always make sure to give him a thank you. He does a lot more than is like public. I would say for GSP. Someone behind the screen, if you will. But did an awesome weekend. Doesn't normally get to join us in person, except for these major events, like Worlds. So it was great to have him there.
But he's always there, lurking.
He's lurking. He will let you know. Exclamation point rules very quickly. And it's
the man with the hammer. The man.
Yes. it was really needed.
It was needed.
Now, I wouldn't say like needed, like everyone was being so terrible or whatever. But like I said, I didn't know how much we needed it, especially having someone there for us. So it really was amazing. But before we get too emotional here, we got to go into our weekend recaps. And then we'll get to the people on the top cut and their list. We'll be talking all month, all year about their lists, I'm sure. Probably until the next points change, but we'll just be referencing them.
Yeah, points for draft tomorrow. All those people are forgotten.
Right, but so we got plenty of time to talk about them and break down their lists and how they were successful. Obviously, we're going to mention them later here, just to get some highlights. But of course, GSP tradition, we got to start with the person with the fewest wins. And that's you, James. Marcel zero Falcon. Wins of X-Wing over the weekend. But I think you won a lot of hearts.
Yeah, won all the hearts, I would say. I am an introvert by nature, and this weekend was a living heck for me. I'm naturally introverted, so I definitely spend a lot of time alone or just with my wife. And having to be socially on the whole weekend was very stressful for me, but the community made it so amazing, and they all the support, it was really, I'm also very emotional, so I was like having like hold back tears the whole weekend because I was just like so happy at everyone being there. So yeah, it was tough. It was a roller coaster of I don't want to say hello to anyone because I'm so stressed out, but at the same time, come say hi to me because I'm so happy that you're here. So it was a very roller coaster event, but overall, one thing that really struck out to me was something Marcel earlier was reinvigorated after spending so much time with, I got to spend a little after party time with some of the AMG team on Sunday, which really was really insightful for me, and I really wish more people had been there with me because it was really, really cool to just hang out with them, not in a professional setting. And I just feel super happy about the game, even if like there's not any new news coming out of Adepticon. No bad news is good news for me because that means we can keep chugging along as we're doing right now and continuing to build the game. And as Wilshik said, phase one is complete and there is a phase two. So whatever that phase two is, I'm here for it. Even if it's just as he said, more events. I mean, bigger events. So yeah, no wins this weekend from me, but I feel like I still had, yeah, the big more hands. I still feel like I had such an amazing time, and I literally cannot wait for next year. I'm already planning for next year on what we're going to do.
Oh, man, that's awesome. I got a highlight. One, if you can just – I'm sure we'll be talking about it all for a while, but throw out a funny story, a quip, of one highlight or so.
One
they highlight. Haven't mentioned yet.
Huh. That's a hard one.
I know. To narrow it down to just one, or did you just not have any highlights?
One moment in time. Actually, you know what? I'll say being able to meet a lot of people from online, especially from like my NCX team, that I had not been able to actually meet in person. And especially like I got to meet Juan, who was my first round pick,
and Obi-Wan.
Yeah, and so I got to meet him in person, and he just like walked up and said, "Hey, James, you know I'm Obi-Wan," and I was like, "Oh my god, my man, my boy, you're killing it!" And he got another win today, so he is currently 4-0. So, so great job, and all everyone else that I got to meet from the NCX team, it was so amazing. I got to meet Greg for the first time. So,
Cashman?
Cashmanian? Yeah, that's right.
I don't know how many syllables are in his last
name. I think it's Cashmanian.
Cashmanian, oh.
Yeah.
Honestly?
I just say Tasmanian with cash.
Sure.
So I think that's what he said to say how to say it. So yeah, getting to meet everyone from these different communities that I spend so much time like daily talking to online, but never actually had an opportunity to meet them was really, really special to me.
I think that's poignant.
Poignant, yeah.
Correct me in the chat, but in the comments.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. oh, yeah. Also, you gave
fight,
me that
fight
boot.
Me in the comments about it, if that's the right word usage.
Yeah.
Sorry, what were you saying?
Yeah, you gave me that boot, Naboo. I literally had to take a moment to be like, don't cry. because,
oh, yeah. Well, you deserve that, Naboo. It's certainly better than just sitting in one of my boxes.
Collecting dust.
I know. I mean, I cherish it, but it's
no. It's already in my bag.
It'll find a table. I'm sure much faster with you.
Oh yeah. I already got it in the bag.
right on. I'm up next. I got one win during the weekend, which is not a great statistic. But I played in the LCQ. Won my first game. Had to been. Won my first game.
Yeah, because you came over so excited.
I was so excited. I was like, the list, everything we talked about, oh my gosh, it's working. I boosted and cleared the deplete with Finrao. Oh, this wedge is a monster. And then, woo, went way downhill after that. I learned a lot, let me tell you, about Rebels and why I'm flying them poorly. But I actually had a lot of fun. Finrao was a blast. The new wedge is insane. Though he's got some weaknesses, and it's mostly being overstressed. Don't overstress him. Man, if he had hard two blues, that wedge would be unstoppable. But
he
does not.
Is there any way to give him
Finrao.
Any kind of stress clearing besides Finrao?
Finrao. Cassian Andor.
You can do Cassian. Okay, all right.
Finrao crew.
No
crew.
Crew on
anybody.
Crew.
Yeah, I'm Cassian.
Kanan. Can't Kanan do it?
No, that's for
sure. Kanan crew on someone else can do it.
Oh, Kanan crew while white maneuvering.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. We'll get some list build things.
Wait, just put those in my little toolbox here.
I mean, Finrao's 5 points, so is Cassian. So we really could start rotating out. Both.
Yeah,
that 5-point slot could be interesting. But honestly, I had an amazing time. I wouldn't say I didn't care. Obviously, I care about every game. But I was in it for the laughs and the fun, me and the rest of my opponents. Because pretty much it was like one loss and you're out of the LCQ. So after a close game that I just couldn't clutch the victory from, ended my LCQ career after only 2 games. So then I just played the last 2 for fun and was really just trying to get the Finrao and wedge to work and probably a little bit too aggressively, let me tell you. I was trying to manage how aggression I should be, but still, I had a bunch of fun. Then I casted the rest of the weekend. It was just me and James on Friday for the day one, and then did a rotation, knowing that it was going to be a long weekend. Started rotating with Dion for Saturday and Sunday. But I had a great time hanging out, watching videos, watching the stream with everybody in chat. Definitely my highlight, other than obviously just crabbing it up with the old rape crabs.
that crab picture was too good.
You know what? We're leaning into it. It's awesome.
Okay, we're leaning into it.
Why not, you know? My highlight, it's kind of dumb because, like, well, of course, it would just be a GSP thing, but the Willstick interview was, like, I was, like, real proud of, like, what do I say, that that we were able to pull off something, not just like we were lucky enough, but like through circumstances, we still were able to get the interview, and we even got Dion there. It wasn't just one of us goofy white dudes right. We got like got Dion, and he's talking to Will Stick, and like we set it up great, and they were having the best time. So like, I felt very like proud to have helped create that interaction, and really showed that to me we weren't doing a bad job, I guess, after all. That at least they were willing to make time. I know he did a bunch of interviews with a bunch of people or whatever, but
yeah,
it was kind of a last minute thing about it.
Yeah, he squeezed us in.
Yeah, we're like, it was like, we just got 5 questions, man. Like, you hang out as long as you need to, but like, we just want to ask you some questions. Regret though. I wish we would have flipped it on him and been like, what can we tell you about the community? It's really I wish we could be, that could have been that fountain of information. I was just like, what does everybody think about B-Wings or whatever? I was like, let us tell you. it's wild. But I'm sure you would have had a more insightful question than just like, do B-Wings good?
As a note, I actually did talk to the AMG team about our interview just to see how they think it went. And I was told,
I guess I never wondered if, I guess I wondered if they had saw it or whatever. It was just like one of the 10 interviews he was doing that weekend.
Yeah. So they did say that was Will's favorite interview that he had the whole weekend. So
that was good. We kept our questions on point. We knew the line. You know what I mean? We didn't.
And to be fair, he's the one that almost crossed it. So
Dion specifically, we'll make a special video about it. But Dion was like, he said phase one, and Dion's like, don't you even start hounding this guy about two, because we're not here for two. This is not that interview. This is not a
phase one went great, and now on to phase two. And then Dion was like, we're not gonna talk about phase two. Next question.
Yeah, it was like let's not dwell on that, let's keep it moving, because people got a lot of questions about it. But he was more. That's, trust me.
M-O-A-R.
This
is exact quote.
That's gonna be reoccurring.
Exact quotes that we have, so.
No, yeah, we'll save those for. We're gonna approve those first. It'll be with Dion, and then, but more, M-O-A-R, exclamation point. I think is
bigger.
If you're like so on X-Wing, especially X-Wing news right now, like I think M-O-A-R should be hopefully enough for you to be strung along.
You got your drip.
Yeah, that's
that dopamine.
I mean, that's all we can offer you is M-O-A-R. But honestly, that says a lot to me.
That's more than enough for me, in my opinion.
Yeah. Anyways, enough about me. Which I had a great time, honestly. 10 out of 10. Amazing tournament. Amazing to see everybody. I could not give people things fast enough.
If you
just talked to me, I would give you something. I really wish. I wish we could have streamed to everybody. Trust me, I wish we could have given out cool things to everybody. But if you were one of the people who I gave just a bunch of, there was a. Oh man, I'm so bad with names. Not only did I had to learn like literally 500 names over the weekend. Not learn, but like correlate. But there was a Filipino man, I believe. And I was just like, take this big box, dude. Like, thank you so much. Go share the love. You know what I mean? There was many examples of that. I think there were some Germans, and we're like, here's some German store championship cards. He's like, oh, I think I have some of these. So I was like, give them to somebody else. Like, share, pass the love, share it on, right? Like, it's a good thing. Like, you, maybe the next person that you give it to will be like, oh, this is awesome. And like, you know, they could be your best friend just waiting around the corner. But, like I said, enough about me. I think that means we're going to Marcel. What'd you play? How'd you do? How'd your weekend
you,
be?
Well, weekend be long, exhausting, and fun. So I flew an Empire list. I flew the new Battle over Endor, Soontir, the Bomber Expansion Pack, Tomax, Battle over Endor, Scimitar 1, which is the free Proton Torpedo guy at Initiative 3, Gorin. Is he Commander? I think he's Commander, right? Lieutenant? Commander? Commander Gorin, I think it is. And two Black Squadron Aces, just generic TIE Fighters. Six ship list. Basically, I came in and I told people ahead of time and it was right on. Like it's not a bad list. It's just a list that doesn't recover from bad variants. So I really didn't have any expectations. It's a list that with average variants and with good maneuvers, I can go undefeated. Very high ceiling. With good maneuvers and bad variants, I can go 0-10, and that's basically what it was. It was I ended up playing a total of 7 games in Worlds. I dropped out after 4-3, so I got 4 wins and 3 losses. I started out 1-2, so I wasn't even sure I was going to make day 2, but I ended up winning the next 2 and then the first round of day 2. So I went from 1-2 to 4-2, and then ended up losing 4-3. And then 7th round was the lunch break. So I was going to be basically sitting around for an hour and a half before playing round 8. And Kayla did not make day 2. So yeah, we decided Edward, she was with Edward and a local guy, Piotr. And they're like, yeah, let's go get some good food. And I was like, hey, good food sounds better than con food. So we ended up going to like the restaurant upstairs. And that was basically my drop. Felt good about the list. I assumed Battle over Ender Soontir is really, really, really good. You just, he can't be your focal point. So that's probably what I would say. Like, he's really good, but you've got to have, you know, like another end game piece. And I think that's ultimately what, when I said that, you know, the variants, bad variants, just this, you know, I don't have enough tools. I don't have hull. I don't have shields. I don't have hull. And so if I don't put good offense with, you know, the limited shots that I'm taking, or if I don't have defense on any of the shots that I take, even, you know, Soontir can bob and weave for 4 rounds and then die to one shot, which happened a couple times. You know, that's going to be what it is. So, but ultimately, like, all my opponents were great. I enjoyed all of the games. Out of the 7 games, one of them I felt that I lost by bad choices. I had an opportunity to draw the match, and I went for the win instead of the draw. And that was a lower probability, so I ended up losing. I went to try to kill a 2-hull ship that was focused at range 3 versus trying to go for the draw, killing an easier ship. And then 2 other ones, I just thought it was, you know, like I said, it's just weird stuff. I told you guys that I lost 13 points in 1 round. That was, yeah. Like sometimes, you know, stuff just, you know, you're in good position.
I remember you were telling me about that, where it was like worst possible round of
my life. Yeah, a 13 point swing in 1 round, just because just because that's the way that variants wanted to be. But even that, like, it didn't make me feel bad. I really enjoyed the time, but I didn't want to bring a tryhard list. I didn't want to bring like arcs or anything like that, or resistance, because I didn't want to be playing, you know, 15 games or 14, what was it, 14 games? Like, I didn't want to even, like, think about that. And I didn't want to put the expectation that if I don't make the cut, that it's a failure. And you know, it keeps, like, it gives you, like, this kind of, like, unhappy feeling. I wanted to come into this world and just like hang out with people, and that's what I did, and I loved it. I just wish it was longer. You know, that's probably the thing that I regret, because like I wanted to hang out with different groups of people that were on my list to hang out with, but because I was hanging out with other people, I didn't get to hang out with everybody that I wanted to hang out with. So again, going back to my, you know, to friends in Europe, I wanted to go out hanging out with them, with, you know, with the Tauntaun Squadron, with Connor, with Dom, and all those people. I wanted to hang out with the Polish crew a little bit more. Didn't get to hang out with them as much. I wanted to hang out with, actually, I got to talk with the Spanish guys and figure out how bad my Spanish really is. Like, I was talking with the guys from Chile, Mexico, you know, like Spain and all this. And I'm like, man, my Spanish sucks. But, you know, I wanted to hang out with them a little bit more. So that's probably my what I wish is that I wish the tournament was either longer or the time playing was shorter, because we played from like 8 a.m. to like 9 p.m. on the first day, so that you can spend more time socializing. Because I think for most people, outside of like the people that made the cut, that was like the highlight, right? Is hanging out with people and just like interacting. And if you went in and you played all five Swiss rounds, and then you played all five, even if, you know, I think, you know, like other people, even if they were officially eliminated, they still kept on playing until round 10. And then, of course, like the people that ended up being in the cut, you know, I feel like they missed out on some of the social aspect of it. Now, it's good to win. Like, you know, like if you're Jorge or Illy, like, yeah, you won and you're coming away with that excitement. But also, you know, you miss a little bit of the socializing, because you know, you just got to stay on top of your game. You got to go home and sleep. You got to rest. You can't be partying and everything. Anyway, I'm going on and on and on. We were saying just like a highlight or a
special. Yeah, his like I said, I'm sure we're gonna be reminiscing about it all year. Yeah, but yeah. You got a fun highlight that you could share with us about it. That you haven't shared already.
Yeah, for me the highlight is Babs' after party on Saturday. Man. I think that's always like a highlight for me. And no different this year, just being able to go out, hang out, and there's people from everywhere. And taking Raider shots, if you don't know what a Raider shot is.
Better put your deflector shield for those Raider shots, yep. Kelvin, in, let me tell you.
Educate yourself. Yeah. It looked like he modified it, though. Like, he modified that Raider shot. It got an additional engine this time. And Secret Hitler with Doug, who's going to be haunted in at this point, 5 weeks, 5 months, 2 weeks, and 5 days, by my poltergeist after he killed me. Yeah. That happens. But no, just big shout out to John. Also, big shout out to Tyler. I think Tyler also helped him put that together. Tyler Tippett.
They're cooking the food, the brats and whatnot.
Yeah, and I already got the down low on next year's party. Wow, there's gonna be a special chef.
Ooh.
For next year. I'm not gonna spill the beans, I'll let John do that. But there will be a special chef, international chef, for next year's after party. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, that was, I'll say this much. As X-Wing tradition, the best part of X-Wing, you do a photo. And, it was Kayla who was like, do we have to do a photo? I was like, this is a family event, okay? And we take photos at our family events. So you get in here with everybody else. I very much meant it, man. I showed up late, so I didn't even know who all was there. But or like who had came and gone or by the time we got there, but yeah, I agree, Marcel. How about that highlight? Ryan, you have the honor of being last. Got how many wins? What was your how many wins? How what was your list?
I got 5 wins. I played the 5 ship resistance I've been on for months. The Elo, Snap, Jess, Lulo, and Vanessa. Started out 3-0, so I made day 2 within my first 3 games, which felt great. And I was like, well, if I could just go 1-1 at least for the rest of that day, I'd be pretty happy. Just have only one more win, one more loss to give on the second day. My fourth round was a really close game towards the top tables when I was in the 3-0 area. And barely lost a close assault game. And then my fifth round would sort of start the chain of mirror match events. I had already faced Dom Flanagan round 2 in a great game against his 2 Y-Wing Commander Poe Elo snap list. He had recently moved off of BB-8 plus a third 4 coster for the 2 Y-Wings with dorsals and concussion bombs. We had a really fun game. And I barely beat him. His Poe was a little bit out of the fight for a little bit extended period of time. But his Y-Wings were, you know, they did real work. But in fifth round, I went up against another resistance list similar to mine, except instead of Lulo, there was Hare Kun, I think. And instead of Vanessa, there was Mimi, I think. And he had a Swarm Tactics Elo next to Jess, and it was in salvage. The gentleman's name was Jeff. That's right. So I knew I had to be more of like the ace player, trying to work my way around him. And didn't do enough damage myself. Lulo committed 1 turn too late. If he committed 1 turn earlier, it might have been a little more help. I sniped an early box off of him, but that'd be the only box I knocked off him for the game. He had a lot more natural crits than I did, and because I had to play a little more like around him, I didn't have a lot of arcs pointed at him as often as he had arcs pointed at me. I my list can only play AC so much since it is just T-70s v T-70s. So I ended up at the end of day 1, 3-2. So I had to put on the mindset of, all right, I've done 5-0 before. I can do it again, right? I can totally do it again. Unfortunately went up against another T-70 mirror match against Philip Pond, another 186 gentleman. Had a really close game. It was very swingy towards the middle to the end. Like he put in a big punch and I'd throw back another crazy haymaker of like some extra damage on like crits or something, or he took a lot of damage on his Vanessa. Like our lists were exactly the same, except he had Kari Kun and I had Lulo, but like to the upgrade, our Ellos were exactly the same, Snaps were exactly the same, Vanessa's and Jess's all exactly the same. Scramble, and Marcel talked about his heartbreaking turn. I had my heartbreaking turn of like, I felt like I had control of the game. I had 2 scramble objectives. We were going to tie and have 1 more round. I was going to maintain 2 objectives, as long as Snap lived, which I think he had a pretty good probability of doing so between the 2 turns, I think I would have locked that game up. But Snap died in just the 1 turn to a below 1% chance of 5 damage being done to him at range 3 from 2 shots with no mods. It was one of those fuel leak direct pulls, and I just like, oh no, it's the worst. And then, so I was basically knocked out with 3 losses, played on a little bit, and then I played, which is probably the highlight, actually, against a gentleman named Victor, I forget if he was Polish or German. I feel bad now. But I played Victor, and we had more one of those fun games. Like, we're both feeling like we're out of it with 3 losses, and he was playing FO, and there were a couple turns where I, like, threw some heat on him, like some really good die roll, or like, you know, had a really well modded shot, and his like his blackout or his Lahuse or Wylo were like gonna take these crazy shots, and he's like, all right, I'm gonna roll triple evades. I'm like, I dare you, do it. And he just rolled triple evades, and we like both cheered for it. It was really fun. And there was another instance where like his blackout was like no mods, three successes incoming. He just takes one die at a time, just like goes back and like flips it backwards, like one of eight, it's the other single die, two of eight, other single die, third of eight. It was like awesome. He just like rolled three of eights in the singles, and just it was fun. And then I threw another three at his blackout, and he just rolled blank, blank eyeball. So it was like the complete opposite of like, oh, now my blackout's dead. That was really fun. And I think my final total of record, 5-4-1, because I just ID'd my last opponent because both had four losses. We're pretty much done. Call for the ID. You know, go watch some friends play, basically. And then, but by what I played for the entire weekend, I played four other Resistance matchups. I played three FO matchups. I played two Rebel matchups. And I played one Republic matchup. Zero Empire matchups. Not a single Empire, and they were the most popular faction of the world's event.
That's honestly impressive, actually.
I honestly wish I would have played against more Empire than mirror matches, because I felt like every mirror match I had, I felt like I was going to have the difficult time.
Yeah. I mean, like, most mirror matches are just coin tosses, right? Which is not great odds for that. So, I bet your squad would have done much better into an Empire. Then I
read some of them, right?
Yeah, more tools in the kit to deal with it, at least.
Yeah, like turns out when I bring Ferrosphere, like other Resistance doesn't care.
Other Resistance does not care a bit.
Yeah,
you know who does care? Vader.
Yes,
and yes. Jinden.
Yes, and Tomax kind of. Very, I point at him, and he doesn't want to take the strain, but he probably doesn't care about double modding a Torp. If he gets the damage he wants in.
I mean, yeah, he can true grit it and not be have them, stress strain.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I never that situation's never come up, but that's a good point. Man, just have the double stress.
The Ferrosphere. What a problem. What a problem, child.
And actually, like, in talking with a lot of the other like Resistance players, it felt like there was a lot of Resistance on Resistance, like cannibalization of the faction during because I think
there's a lot of them
actually, a lot of Resistance made day two comparison to other factions.
I think at the end FO ate each other up right before cut too.
Yeah, that probably happened as well.
Yeah, which is real sad because FO, spoilers, didn't even make cut, which is very sad.
Oh. You know what did make cut? Scum. Spoilers as well.
Yeah, are spoilers.
Are we transitioning over to that?
Anything else, Ryan?
This sounds like the time to not have spoilers and actually talk about it.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm saying just overall our impressions, because now we're going to start talking about other people's things. Okay. But anything else you regret not saying before?
There's a lot of feelings being thrown around for Adeptcon and Worlds and we didn't get any new news, but honestly, despite that, in the face of that, I feel reinvigorated in the game. I'm excited to get down to my local game store and play some games. I'm excited to talk about the some of the breakdowns of some of these squads, because I think some of them have. I think you and I were talking earlier, Will, about how sneaky winner of the entire event is actually Mace 7B.
That's true. So yeah, we'll talk more about that. I don't know if they're I don't know if they're in the top cup.
Yeah, they definitely are. Yeah.
They definitely are. I know they are. I'm trying to give any hint of mystery here.
No mystery.
Real quick on James' point about, you know, a lot of feelings, a lot of
positive and negative, right?
Yeah, both positive and negative. Yeah, there's positive and negative feelings. There's, you know, obviously AMG didn't produce any new news. They said, like, you know, sit and wait and something will come. to me, that screams politics. In other words, like, you know, they're not at the driver at the driver's seat, probably somewhere either at Disney or at Asmodee's, mm-hmm. probably in charge of that. You know, nobody would purposely, like, do that without
right.
being told to do that. So, let me just finish the point real quick. Sorry. So there's feelings about that. There's feelings about, and again, this is my circles. You guys each have your own circles, and then we have some shared circles. There's also feelings about just like the points and, you know, like the 4-point arcs and just how they were like, they were like, what, 67% of the top 8, 75% of the top 4, and 100% of the final. So there's all those things, but all of those things, you know, metas are transitional, metas are temporary, and I just want to point everyone, and maybe you can share it. I know Jason's probably still listening. Jason, or if not, Jason. Wait, Jason or Jason? Jason or James? Greg from NCX also, like, did this really good YouTube video. I don't know if you guys have seen it. Just, like, the
state of
the X-Wing Union. I thought he put it together. It's, like, it's a quick video. It's, like, a 5-minute video.
It's, like, 5 minutes. Non-GSP content sharing. Yeah,
got it. Like, people should watch that. Like, I think he hit the nail on the head as far as, like, you know, there's like pro X-Wing, there's like an anti-X-Wing, but I still love X-Wing. There's a I don't care about either side, I just want to play X-Wing and shut up side of it. No matter which side you're on, the fact that there's just like so much emotions and feelings just kind of reinforces the point of like how much X-Wing is it's a good game. It's got an amazing community, and regardless of what happens with it on a legal standpoint, you know, with licensing, with official releases, like, it's gonna be around for a while, right? Because we're gonna keep it alive. If nothing else, like, people will keep it alive. So just watch that video. I think that's a really good video. So big ups to Greg. And your outro was perfect. So don't let anybody else. If it ain't awkward and dorky as heck, it's not a proper outro. So good job on the outro. Anyway.
I'll write him an outro about if he had a nickel for every something or other, he could build a city. We're workshopping it.
There you go. If I had a nickel for every long, drawn-out, awkward
outro.
I'd only have one nickel, but it'd be a weird nickel.
Something like that. We'll workshop. We have Greg did get a chance to hang out as well. Great seeing everybody, which is really my closing point is...
You're muted the whole time.
I was muted the whole time. Classic Dion mistake. Yeah. Well, I just want to reiterate that we're all family, and it was great to meet everybody, new friends and old, share in the highlights and the lowlights, the devastating points and the excitement of the game, and that really. I was rejuvenated, and I agree. I think I am rejuvenated now, as well.
Reinvigorated as well.
Oh, I was invigorated. That's right. Not as much vigor, but I think we got more vigor in us. Revigorated. Extra vinegar on that, revinegration, I think is, the point. But, I know we could spend the whole rest of the podcast shouting people out. Everybody that we met, but if you know, you know, And we're glad to share that experience with you. But yeah, my closing point, 20 minutes later. Yeah, let's we're about an hour in. Let's hit up these lists. We don't have to like I said, dwell on them too much. Obviously.
Yeah, and just for folks, we're gonna mention them. We're gonna call out the list. We're gonna mention them. We're not gonna do any deep dives on it. This was more of a like Worlds recap. So we'll talk about the top eight. Well, actually, the top cut, which was 16.
Well, we'll go 16 just so we can talk about mention scum.
But we're just
if only to do
scum. But we're not gonna do any deep dives and how to beat the list or what makes the list good. Yeah. We're gonna save
we'll be
that
deep
for
later.
Yeah, we're gonna save that for next Monday and after.
We got a while, but we got the roll better pulled up. This one has everybody's name, but just a big shout out to everybody who placed so well. Did amazing.
And if you're not in this top 16, man, just the fact that we had 311 players, battling it out for
look at some of these names out here.
Nathan Idy, especially, wanted to shout out our bridesmaid, Nathan
Idy. Oh, that's true. Sit this close to the Cinderella story. Yeah. Oh, from the LCQ, 14 games
from
in, and
the LCQ.
He gets
well, from
17th.
The only 3-1 in LCQ.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The true, like, would have been the Cinderella.
Yeah.
Thickest plot armor possible.
I would have lost it if Nathan Idy made it to the final two. Yeah. I don't know
but
what
obviously,
I would
have done. This list, like I said, top 16, we're going to special shout out, but look at this list of everybody from Tobin to X, Y to Dom.
Family.
Like, oh my God, this list just keeps going on and on and on.
Our previous world champion, Nicholas Scott, right there at 33.
So this was a stacked event. But we're going to, I don't think, as cool as Rollbetter is. Thank you again, Rollbetter, for not crashing.
Oh, my goodness.
The timeline where their account, where everything's ruined and they have to go back, dig through the paper sheets and rebuild the whole tournament. I'm so glad we're not on that timeline. So maybe a special shout out to Rollbetter.
They did build in that.
There's a safety net. They were prepared.
There's a safety
for
net. But they were like, please don't make us use the safety net.
So as good as Rollbetter is, definitely check out Rollbetter for your events and whatnot. Amazing program. If you're not using Rollbetter, I don't know what you're doing. But
to note, real quick, Nathan Idy played a different list in LCQ than he played in Worlds.
Oh,
what?
Really? I did not know that.
What did he net list? Okay.
He had during LCQ starter Vader, Morna Key, Baroth, and Tomax. After the event, I asked him how he felt about what he played, and he's like, well, in the games I won, they were kind of blowouts, so I don't really learn much from that. And then, like, I guess I learned a little bit from my losses here and there, and I'm like, hey, there's this other version of the list. How about upgrading that Morna to Rack, bringing Gendon, and then Deathfire and Tomax. And I'm like, you should also talk to Jeremy Chambly, because he's on that, and he knows a lot more about it, but I'm highly recommending you move to that. And I explain kind of the base interactions of it, and he's like, that does sound good. I'll talk to Chambly. And now he was on there for Worlds.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. He was easily convinced.
In a different timeline, you don't convince him, and he makes
in
it all the way.
And he wins.
Did I actually bamboozle him? Did I secretly bamboozle him?
Maybe.
Ryan.
Maybe. Who knows?
Ryan, the real villain of Worlds.
Yeah. Well, for at least for the United States.
Yeah, at least for US.
Thank you, Ryan.
What? Look, all I know is that like I'm pretty convinced that what he brought was a better list than what he brought in LCQ. Honest truth.
That is nothing to be ashamed about. Getting into that 17th spot is heartbreaking. Like I said, could feel for those players.
He was really hoping for someone to be like, be sick in the morning or something.
Right? So yeah, but everyone, honestly, like anybody who made it through all 10 games, was like still fighting for it, man, that is, it's nerve wracking.
Yeah.
Like it's some, no offense to you, who played, great job, obviously, for getting to both of you getting to day two. Like I couldn't do it, so I'm glad both of you guys were able to. But that it's so much easier. Oh my gosh, to get your third win round two than it is to get it round 10. Oh, I can't imagine the heartbreak of them. So, definitely feel for those players who didn't get into the cut. But on the opposite end of that spectrum, going to the players who had the biggest rush, which was playing at the final table at Worlds, the cameras were on, the crowd watching intently, but off to the side, not huddled around bothering you. Illy, Jorge did an amazing job getting all the way to the finals. Illy ultimately takes the victory from Jorge, wins it for Europe, goes back with the trophy. The title goes back with him to Germany. And I'm sure everyone who's interacted with him, what a nice guy he was able to. Like I said, we had a lot of interactions with him, and he was just getting zen, right? He was just powering through that 14th or what, the 13th or 14th game of the weekend, right? And it was a pleasure to have on stream. And of course, Jorge, who, if you don't know, has been very, very proficient in his X-Wing career in the last year, winning the Vancouver System Open in Canada and getting to the finals in LVO, if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. James?
Yep. Yeah.
It was against Doug. Doug ultimately got him at LVO. But man, getting us a consistent player has been flying a very similar list,
and helping Mexico get to,
I mean,
the XCC finals as well.
No offense. Obviously, big shout out Fernando and the rest of the XCC.
No, I mean,
team,
I'm saying,
but
I said help.
No, like, no, was, I agree though. Like they needed him, and he showed up for that as well, man. And Jorge has just been having a great
season.
Yeah, he's practiced. I've never seen him miss a trigger. Everything.
Like, and one more thing. Jorge won Vancouver.
Won Vancouver.
Second LVO,
yes.
And second at
Worlds.
Like, that's,
yeah.
Like,
I
this
mean,
was his,
what a
like,
season.
Honestly,
yeah.
This Jorge, number one overall player of the year, maybe?
Potentially.
I mean, the North for North America, 100%.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He might be the most consistent, biggest of, at least for the larger events. I don't know if you win 20 store championships, like,
yeah,
impressive.
Duncan
but
had,
I don't know.
Duncan has a good claim for that as well, because when he participated, he won. I mean, even this time, like, he went undefeated in Swiss. Like, the last one don't count. The concession, but yeah, he went undefeated one more thing about Jorge. So in a Discord that I'm in, they did like a fantasy draft for your top eight, and the prize was a custom painted medium base ship, and of my choosing, so I would choose whichever it is. So I actually had Jorge winning the entire thing in my like, it's like March Madness bracket thing. Even before the tournament started, I had Jorge beating Quarantine. I thought, is that how you say his name?
Quarantine.
So Quarantine. I had Jorge beating Quarantine in the final, but because he came in second, I was still the closest. So thank you for
a very big ups for Jorge.
Yeah, selfishly, because I'm.
No, I would agree that there was a lot of expectations from him, and he easily met them.
Yeah, exceeded.
Exceeded them, obviously. We're talking about him right now. I'm not as familiar with Illy. We would be giving Illy the same kind of breakdown. But we're not as familiar with him. We haven't had as many interactions with him. Hopefully we can find a time to coordinate that, but obviously European, American, we'll have to figure something out. But we'd love to have him on. Love to hear about his story, how he got all the way to the top. But honestly, did a great job. As you know, if you're only listening, they both flew three arcs, three arcs, two three-pointers, and a two-pointer. And the difference was that Illy brought Y-Wings, and Jorge brought Torrance. I guess I'm doing this from memory. I do have the information right in front of me.
Right in front of
you. But very, very similar takes on the style of the clones. I've been calling it clone beef, but beef's kind of an outdated term, I think, in X-Wing. But Ryan, you got that catchphrase. What are people calling these kind of chunky cloneless?
Thick.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. people call them beef. It could be just like, I don't know, prime rib steak. I don't know. You call whatever you want. It's a lot of health, but they take damage, right? So you just, you gotta, like, if you're an opponent, focus fire something down. And it's on these players to cycle some of these ships out at the right time before they're easy to kill. And I saw Jorge do that a couple times. Illy did it really well too. So I mean, they know their list very well, and it showed.
Yeah, I would agree that both of them showing the definition of knowing your list inside and out. Never missed a trigger. Never missed up. Never. Well, maybe not never, but setting up formations that don't self bump and things like that.
I do know that Illy, I was told that Illy has been flying this same list or like almost identical to this list for almost a year, like since the beginning of the season. Sure. So he is again, very reps. Practiced with this. Reps. Yeah, reps.
Makes sense. Maybe it wasn't the person who just chose a list that their friend was playing and took it to an event who ended up winning it all. Turns out it did take the practice and determination after all. Surprising no one.
Rep's still better. Rep's still better than any kind of
net list you can possibly find. Well, that's probably true for most worlds. But yeah, honestly, like, amazing job. I'm very proud of both of them getting into the final and Illy taking it all at the very end. But we'll keep moving here. Like I said, we do got to go at a rapid pace, because we've got 16 people. We're just hitting the highlights here. Paul Heber, he's flying Rebels. We got to see the BOE ships in action. I don't know how he was winning games with it, but man, when we got to see him in action, he was all over the place with these. He was flying Wedge like none other out there. So, obviously, Paul Heber, three-time world champion. Just three? Biggs. What was it? Oh, Biggs, Han, and Poe was his three champions. That's right. And highlight for him and Illy tied. Big spoiler, but they tied. And that's, oh man, that you gotta watch that game. The back and forth, the maneuvers each one was choosing. Oh, amazing. But the they rolled it off. Am I crazy? That was that game, right? Forgive me for watching 18 games of X-Wing over the weekend. But
between who and who?
Wasn't that Paul and Illy in the top four? Am I crazy?
It looks like someone's saying it was that game. Okay.
Okay. Like I said, it's been a long weekend. This is why we're doing this a little bit later than normal in the week. But that was crazy. Both top four games tied. I did not know that. That's a crazy statistic.
Yeah, they were both roll-offs, so it could have been very easily Heber against Marco in the final.
Interesting.
Wow.
Wow.
That is... Yep. I did not know that.
Very, very easily different timelines right now.
Yeah, the scores entered. Check the roll better.
Think about it. Like, that was a roll-off like on both quarterfinal, I mean semifinal matches, the roll off. Yeah, it's insane.
I see okay. 21-10 for Jorge and Marco.
No, actually, you're right. Jorge did beat.
Yeah, because it was Jorge and Jonathan Grasser that tied in top eight.
Yeah, because top eight.
Jorge, oh, that's
yeah,
what
right.
it was.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what it was. Yeah, if we see him here.
It was a top eight match. Yeah,
really.
And yeah,
so Jorge did tie and win a roll off to get into.
Yeah, win a roll off.
So both.
Yeah. Interesting.
Both crates. Wait, is Grasser a crate? I think he has a crate, right?
I think so. Don't quote
so
me.
So both crates. Yeah. So both crates lost on roll-offs.
Wow.
Yeah, only way to beat a crate is by road roll-off. Andrew Cox, Paul Heaver, and Grasser. Proven.
Learn how to roll better, man. Come on.
Oh,
learn how to roll better.
Oh,
you grab like a cup. They got to get the cup and got get the like little.
Oh, they want nothing to do with that.
Oh, that's yeah, that. banned in those circles. I bet. Oh man. But yeah. Still
I will
fantastic.
Say, it was pretty entertaining to like be in the crowd watching Paul's and Illy's game. I personally think that was one of the best games of the weekend.
Yeah.
I was able to watch. I'd have to go back and look, but like.
Sure.
It was really close all the way to the end. It ended up being a tie, but it was also really entertaining because like there was a few rounds earlier where Paul did like these this finger guns thing at like an enemy ship in a different game and like towards the top tables, and someone took a picture of it like at the perfect time. So like when Paul's wedge rolled up with that two turn and that and landed it for the advanced proton torpedo on Wolf, like three or four of us in the front row just started finger gunning at the floor like no nothing personal, kid. It's very funny. That was one of my highlights for
sure.
Oh
man, that's amazing. And honestly, like Paul, he's not what do I say? He's not like running podcasts. He's not like you know going to every event and things like that. But he does make it out for the big events still, which is amazing because he has a lot of support from the community. But it continues to show that the skill of X-Wing is not what list you're flying. It's not what how the dice stats ended up at the end of the game. It helps. It certainly helps. But there is a magic to being good at X-Wing. What
and
that
Paul
is.
Heaver, Paul Heaver lives that, right?
He just sees the game. He just sees the game differently.
Sees the Matrix. Sees through the Matrix.
I don't. I only wish. I aspire to be at his level.
I'll also note that, like, I think it's really important to have a strong core of teammates around you. Because that's the one thing that I saw throughout the event, because I was also like I wanted to get some pickup games for Unconventional Warfare, doing a little more testing for Worlds Prep, and like the people around Paul are like very smart people. They've come together, they wanted to help each other out. They didn't all play the same list, but they all knew how to prep each other in a team, whether it was turn zero, playing, talking about scenarios, talking about their matchups, even mirror matches and everything across the board. And Chambly, Jeremy Chambly is part of Paul's, you know, core team. And they all, like, really, it's a huge help to have a core team together, to, like, really put your heads down, put them all together, and figure it out, and, you know, try to get one of them to win the big one. So I
no
highly
longer,
recommend
no longer.
Get a team together that is focused in on helping each other out.
Yeah, no longer hashtag make Paul Heaver great again. Just hashtag Paul Heaver great again. It has been done.
Yeah.
But I agree.
I don't know if you could put the again in there. Like that feels what? Kind of disrespectful. Like,
no.
He's always been great. He's not great again. He's just great.
Well, we do have an interesting
statistic
for you.
He was winning nationals. He won nationals like a year or two
I mean, he
ago.
Did. He has
he
had
won.
A great season. He
won
Texas.
LSO
yeah.
this year. That's
yeah,
how he got his invite.
He won LSO, yeah. And then didn't he win like Nova or something? Yeah. And like
no,
like,
he helped run Nova.
Yeah,
no,
he normally, he's
yeah.
normally got his cowboy hat on.
Not Nova. Marshalling like the, giving, one
giving,
of them.
Giving the finger guns down there.
Yeah. Anyway, he won. Was it Philly or Nova? One of those. I was there. I lost the top four, and he won the final. So I know he won that. Like, whatever that was, he won that. And then he also did good at, like, a Gen Con. Like, every year he's done something good. So he never fell off. Just the bar is so high for him that if he doesn't win Worlds, it's like, oh.
He does have high expectations. Another player who
it's like,
really
you're
the pressure
chess, it's
on.
Like Magnus Carlsen not winning, not being the world champion. Like,
geez.
Like how Magnus, he fell off.
Jeez, you
like,
didn't even win that tournament, Magnus?
Yeah. Like, what's wrong with you? You know?
Come on.
No, so he's the Magnus Carlsen of X-Wing, in my opinion.
I would say one of the very, very few grandmasters of X-Wing. That's an honorary title that I'm bestowing on him right now. But it's a very short list of true grandmasters who, like I said, can see the game differently. Though that actually brings up a great statistic that someone had pointed out. None of these names we're going to be reading for the top 16 were in the top 16 in 2023. Not a single repeat from the previous World's Cut. Ryan, fact checked me on this. Is this got to be true?
That is true.
100% true. No one from last year's World's Cut made it to this year's World's Cut.
Well, not only
granted,
that, for the top 16.
Well, cut is cut. Cut is true. I believe there was one over that.
No, cut was 8, yeah. But was there somebody from 9 to 16
I think so.
That made cut?
I can solve this, yes. Please hold. Let me look. I still have the 2023 World Championship in my roster. Thanks, Roberta, for saving my history.
Thanks.
So, Crispy, no. I don't know who Sir Gecko is, but they're from, there's Cam Murray. Sad Cam Murray, sorry, didn't make day two. Yelta DeBoer, I don't even know if he made the trip. I don't know who Larry's is. I know Nate May. Someone named Zach. I don't know if... No, not even anyone from top 16.
There you go.
This is funny. Duncan from last year was 17. Nathan from this year was 17. So you had someone in like each end be 17, not 16 from the year they didn't make cut to the year they do.
Wow. All right. I mean, maybe it is like the hungry dog, right? Like, I didn't get
funny
into
enough.
The top cut. I need some more.
Jorge was 23rd last year.
Okay.
There you go. Okay. So not.
Duncan and Jorge were the two closest from last year to this year.
Interesting. So the stat still remains, but it is shaky afterwards.
X-Wing is hard.
X-Wing is one of the hardest games.
You have to be good at the game, and then also, you know, have a solid list, and then also have good dice, like have good luck throughout the day. Yeah, luck.
Between matchups, dice rolls.
Yeah. It's everything has to fall into place to win one of the major tournaments. It's just one of being good, having a good list, and have a good variance. Any of those is not all of it. Like
any one of those is not enough.
Yeah, exactly. Like you have to have a combination of all three. During different periods of an event.
Okay.
Agreed.
Very cool. Let's
So you alluded to it earlier. Marco Tamlin here, bringing a double arc list and our special. I would probably say you've got. We discussed it before the episode, but Marcel, Ryan, feel free to disagree. Sleeper hit. Of the tournament, Mace Windu, 7B. Ryan, scrunchy face is so bad. Undefeated in Swiss. And to me, a surprise, someone, if nowhere near my top of pilots who would have made it into the top four. Mace Windu with R4P17 and high in perception. Just doing work out there. Let me tell you, every time we saw him, he was target locked, dropping three hits on whatever he was shooting at. Destroying initiative fives like Luke what was the other one? Jenden, the I-6, destroying them before they could fire with the heightened perception. How rude, Mace Windu. And obviously Marco. Marco, I believe, fact check this, went 7-3-0 to make it into the top cut. Was he the only player with 7 wins in the top cut?
No.
He had a lot of 7 and draws.
Yeah.
Not a lot.
He was a player that had all wins and 3 draws.
I don't know how I see the... Oh, we got to look at the... Yeah, if I can't look at the ladder before the finals?
No, but there was like...
Is that how that works? I can't just see the Swiss stats. Am I looking at the Swiss stats?
Yeah, on the ladder, it's just Swiss stats.
It's just Swiss stats. Okay. Oh, because I'm viewing them from... I'm viewing them in cut order, but we're only observing the 10 games of Swiss. I see. That if you can understand my confusion here. Marco's only got 6-3.
It's a bug, I think, that Chris was saying, talking about. He's 7-3.
Okay. But there was other players. Juan... Roche,
for example,
Grasser, Paul Heber.
For example, Grasser was
Illy.
7 wins,
yeah,
3 losses,
was
1 draw,
7 and 2 draws. Illy was,
yeah, but I'm
yeah,
saying,
7
yeah.
wins, 2 losses, 1 draw was the lowest I think anyone in the cut was.
And that was Grasser and Nathan both had the same record.
Yeah,
Paul
Grasser,
7-1-2.
Yeah, but his SOS was much stronger.
Yeah, I think I was lost early. Not a way to do tiebreakers is getting your loss early.
Yeah, submarining doesn't really work that great when you
doesn't help you. Talked to Crispy about that last year. He's the poster child for don't lose your first two games. They're really important.
They're really important. Yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah,
unfortunately, yeah.
Marco is still undefeated.
Honestly,
undefeated
what,
in Swiss. Was
one of my
very
favorite
impressive.
Games that I saw.
We did catch him on stream a couple times, and man, that Mace Windu, like I said, Ryan, you could disagree. Would you let us know when we get to your sleeper hit, your surprise pilot of the top 16 here? Because we're going on to Grasser.
That one might be kind of obvious, I think, unless I look through it again. Yeah.
Okay. Well, have we passed it already? You got
Old
a sleep
Para, I think, for everyone.
Who?
Old Para.
Old Para, yeah.
Oh, okay. Para, well, the Mandalorian. Okay.
I think Old Para may be the sleeper hit.
Okay. I think we have alluded to it enough. We'll come back to the top eight. We love you. But we had to look at. We're going to start from the other end of the spectrum here then and try to find where is this scum list?
He's right there. He's on the
there
third.
There it is. Old Para. A scum list? We committed to a whole episode to break down as a gauntlet to throw down to the players of if you do well with a scum or CIS list. We're going to have to talk about it. We're going to have to learn your secrets and devote a whole episode to it about how to even begin to understand what we should be doing in scum. An Old Para does it here, gets into the top 16, Mandalorian, Fenrau, Dirge, Cad Bane. So two rogues, a Fang Fighter, and the Razor Crest. We don't need to talk about it now, but wow. Dirge, huh?
Yeah, Dirge, yeah. No, it's the
false transponder dirge, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Not, I mean, this is the
whole,
build.
Is that's
my
that's
opinion.
The whole
this
thing.
This is the build.
Is that he was hiding false underneath Razor
No,
Crest.
No. Well, he's saying dirge.
No, dirge has false transponder codes
as well. No. That's what I'm saying. As, Oh,
well,
I think it's really important.
Sure. I see. Sorry.
Having two falses in there to where able to do that false thing twice.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh man, I haven't looked at this Cad Bane build. That's kind of cool.
Kira with Marge Sable closure. If you thought we were joking when this list is insane.
Aw.
The more you look at it, the more huzz there are.
Oh no, that's like only Dirge's illicit and Cad Bane's build in general. Like beyond, Sync Laser Cannon, Ion Bombs completely respawn Cad Bane, right? And he gets roll the title, and Dirge doesn't get it, right? But then like the Kira plus Marge Sable's kind of the
take that as your other rather than a second, or rather than illicit, rather than contraband.
Right.
That's what he did. I'm not gonna question. It's a very defensive Fen Rao, which I mean, you got to protect those points on him sometimes because you know he does. He is a Fang, right? Don't get caught at range two. That Mandalorian. Chris Allen said it a long time ago, and probably 6-ish months ago. That Mandalorian is one of the most highest damage mitigation in the game. Like just how he works, basically having hate. With the child and then his ability, it's so good. You had to put the rest of the pieces around in a scum list outside of him.
I know. It's still a great combination. It still takes excellent flying to line up those shots, the obstacles. So, and special shout out to Old Para, some of the most beautiful ships in the entire
tournament. Absolutely. Yeah. That is one of the squads that we definitely had to zoom in on.
Yeah, let's take a second look at your ships, sir. Because they were quite amazing. But now I'm all out of order here. But honestly, worth it. Because we got a lot to learn. And we still might do a CIS episode of, like, what are we missing? How can we figure out what is even happening in CIS and get them? That isn't just Fire Spray. We're really hoping someone would be flying like Dumble Scimitar, be inspired by Tim Woodbury. But no one was flying a Scimitar at Worlds.
We did a thorough check.
Which I get, trust me. Understandable. To not make that commitment. Anyways, Grassy was flying Empire, top of Empire finisher, I think. Well, tied with Chambly out there, bringing some racks into it. We got to catch Jambalaya on stream, and he got caught. His Jinjin got caught. We're just assuming that he was catching people with that Jinjin for most of the tournament. I was able to do a lot better with some of these BOE ships that I had no faith in, to be honest with you. But, I mean, this is what you recommended to Nathan Idy. So, as well, that 7733 gets your Decimator and your Bombers out. So, honestly, awesome to see that. Even with the nerfs and stuff to Empire, there's still a lot of good things to come. Moving on to Mofar, also in the top 8, he was running a... he had a Y-Wing and a Torrent. A little bit of both. A little column A, a little column B there. But he performed as well. I don't think we got Mofar on stream. I don't think we did, no.
No, I don't think so.
No. There's only so many rounds. Trust me. I wish I could watch everybody.
We didn't have a bunch of Republic, but I don't think we had this one.
Okay. Still, excellent. Well done, Mofar. Got all the way to the top 8. And then Le Chancelier, which was a name I actually don't know, but I know that moniker.
I think that is the top 8 finisher. Andrew Previt?
Previt. That probably French. Let's be honest with ourselves. But
yeah.
They were also flying Republic, which is kind of a theme, it turns out.
Yeah.
What did you say then, Marcel? 50% of the top 8 No. 5 out of 8. I don't know that math. It's 62
Yeah,
and a
five
half,
out
I'm
of
pretty sure.
8. It's too high percent, but yeah.
It's
Yeah, 5 out of 8, and then if you go down to the top 16, it's only 6 out of the top 16. So out of the 6 Republic list in the top 16, 5 of them made it into the top 8.
Didn't
Five.
two of them play each other?
Yeah, that's what prevented all of them from moving on
Yeah.
out of the top 16, was that there was some double up, but obviously coming all this way, did an amazing job. Like I said, we'll dive more deep into. I mean, I think we've talked a lot about arcs, but maybe we can find some more discussion on them.
We can spend an episode talking about just the different nuances of Y-wings versus
That's true. Who's their
this
friends?
versus that, yeah.
I mean, I'm in as much as the Torrents make sense to me. I'm in on the Y-wings. It's what I recommended to Stephen. Steph, oh, I always the PH screws me up every time.
Wyland, yeah.
Yeah, Wyland. I don't. But we have a Stephen, a Stephen. Anyways, I still don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. So we're moving on. Duncan Howard brings the other Colonel Jenden out there with a 000 Ferroff. Tomax Bren, of course. I mean, do you even start? Basically, Empire is playing 17 points these days. His Tomax Bren is so good. What amazing. Half the price of SSP Vader and doing the same amount of actions and shot capability? Are you kidding me? Of course, we're running triple action for a string. Yes, please. And Duncan, basically running triple ace out there, but someone who's very familiar with the Reapers as well. Oh, let's see. Let's keep going here. I want to give their. So let's see. Who else was in the. The top 16 that I'm missing out. Who? Well, the names I can recognize right away is Khan from Pattern Analyzer. It's Octa Khan coming from Australia. He was also trying to fly that Wedge Antilles, a very popular ship. He was doing it with friend Rao. We got to catch a rematch of XY and Octa in Swiss. And we were talking about. The legendary matchups they've had in these big
It
events
was a
previously.
tough game. There was a lot of
There was a lot on the line.
getting each
Ugh.
other's heads too.
Yeah. There
There
was.
was a lot of table talk.
I bet. I bet. So that was awesome to see him again. Watch him play on stream with that epic rematch. Let's see. Who else? Roberto. Torres, a player I'm not familiar with. But they did. They were second overall in Swiss, the second seat. So they must be really
Wait, who? Sorry, I was
Roberto.
Roberto
I'm
Torres.
not familiar with this player. I apologize. We'll have to find out
What was
more.
he?
He was a resistance player in the top 16. I believe our only resistance player.
I don't see him.
Roberto. He's right here. Roberto Mendez. I'm going to keep saying his name until you find him.
Oh, Roberto went. Yeah, no, I don't know.
Anyways, he did an
Very.
excellent job with Zori. We all doubted Zori. And this one doesn't even bring plasma torpedoes. What fools we were to think that you needed plasma torpedoes. Nope, this one only had mag pulse. But then, of course, the 4270s, as Resistance do. Can you blame them? They're just so good. But are only showing a Resistance in the top 60. No, wait, what am I
Wait,
talking
I do
about?
know Roberto Torres. Never mind. Okay, so just real quick.
Is
I met him. He's from Spain, but he plays
okay.
in Poland, so he's part of the Polish I think they brought like a million people. So he's one of their
You don't
million
say.
people that they brought.
Okay.
But yeah. I was thinking that's why when you said his name and like it triggered like, wait, I know that name. But yeah, he's from Spain, but he lives and plays in Poland. So I do know, but I just met him.
Okay. The other one, the other resistance, excuse me, how dare I forget Juan Jose Garcia Roche. He is flying the resistance with an A-wing, Lulo, Zori, and three X-wings. Also did an amazing job. Got into the top 16. So, Ryan, you weren't far off, but they apparently Zori still better than, maybe not better. Is better the right word, Ryan? What's causes this trend?
I still don't know,
right?
Like, it's... So, yeah, Zori has shown to be... My personal opinion, right? And I could be wrong. Zori invites counterplay. To the effect of, like, her attack is predicated on having a lock being good, right? Like, you want to fire your plasma probes? Do you want to fire your magpulse warhead? Whatever. And she's only on one agility. So any ion weaponry, any other opposing magpulse weaponry, blocking, etc., can stop her gun from being as effective as it can be, right? So to me, as someone who wants all guns online as much as possible, don't favor Zori, because not only can any of those things happen, she's a slower Y-wing. Right, she can't move as well as the T-70. She's very easy to find, very easy to figure out where she's going to go. Yes, she can output some crazy damage with those plasma torpedoes. Robert even had good success, or Roberto had good success with it with Magpulse, right? So, can Zori be good? Absolutely. Does she have more counterplay or potential ways to stop her more than another T-70? I think so.
Interesting. Okay. I like that take. That's an interesting way of thinking about it. Well, me and Marcel go back and forth about how observing list of... I think of a list of... actually, shout out to Bucky. Bringing proton rockets and barrage rockets only in his list. Of like, turns out I don't need target locks. I'll just take the bump. Focus, and we'll still be able to attack as normal. And that kind of... Bucky was out there thinking, what if the worst happens? And a lot of times, Marcel, you invent the Rune Goldberg machine where it's like, well, if everything works out great, it has to be successful. So it's kind of interesting to see
this kid was just thinking about focuses and saying... do something about it.
Special shout out to 13-year-old Bucky. I was able to hang out with him and his father. I was hanging out with everybody, but I was able to talk with them. They got isoplane initiatived out from Houston, and they just had an amazing event. All right, very intimidating, I assume, for a 13-year-old soon-to-be man. But, man, he was playing with the best of them out there. So, a couple more years. Maybe next year. Look out for Bucky. Who else haven't we shouted out yet?
I would have looked out for him this year because he was
should have been looking out for you this year. I agree. I think he made day two. Wasn't he 4-1 at the end of day one?
Yes.
No, he lost the game we streamed on him. I think we streamed him game 7 or so. He lost out early day two. Turns out round two, day two was devastating for so many people.
Yes,
that was the round four at the end of the event.
Solid showing, honestly.
Played 9 games against some of the best players in the world, and including him, Bucky. Big shout out to you, man. I'm sure you'll come back even stronger next year. But who else are we missing? No, I'm trying to decipher.
Did he hit Duncan?
Duncan Yon. He did it. Look at that triple zero.
Look at him out there.
I ran triple ace. Somehow triple ace. You could build a list like that and consider Tomax one. Sure. But that is something that I was kind of saying offhandedly of why we're seeing these players return, ID, Heaver, Duncan, Para, right, Khan, after finding little success last year. And it does take, even with like same objectives, I wouldn't say same points, obviously, but it is interesting to see these old dogs learning some new tricks. And
did we hit Damian Delote?
Damian Delote? No, what is he, Hall Oakland?
This was...
Is he the Falcon?
This is the Falcon, yep.
Oh, my gosh. As a note, no Han. Nobody.
Hanless out here.
Hanless. I didn't even know how far we had to scroll to find a Han. You nerf something in next wing. There was bailing ships. Quick.
27.
I see that, yeah.
Yeah.
Ran Ursa Ren with his Bistan. Interesting.
Also ran.
Also ran customized Notorious Lando. Wow. Yeah, well, double pancake coming in out strong.
Double pancake Bodica. Woo! Yeah.
Those are choices, dude. Well done.
Well, just as a note, the one from Delote is also a customized. Of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we got I6 Bodica. Lando Calrissian. Double tapping out there. Man. So still not jumping ship on the Rebel Falcons. Using all of that time, I assume, playing Han. And was like, well, off the point, I mean, I'm just going to change the name. Just scratch out Han. Scribble in Lando.
I actually want to say that Delote was talking in several chats and saying that he's been more of a fan of Lando from the beginning.
Really? An OG Lando? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. You know what?
So that would be if I'm wrong.
We'll get to the bottom of it. We're going to add it to our things of when we start doing some breakdowns for the different list. And then there's two other players, though, run low on time. Sith Taker Tim flying a... this is
three V-Wing.
Oh, this is Oddball V-Wing. No arc.
No arc. Arcless.
Seven ships.
Wow.
But you're arcless.
Killer? What?
Yeah, 3.Z?
A 3.Z. I was like, why does he have a jamming beam? But this... Z, at 3.Z, you can put wherever you want on your Z, apparently. He's got oh man, we'll get into it, but wow, another time. V-Wing, or Z-V-V-V-V, Torrent, wow. Oddball,
two
V-Wing.
3-V, 2-Z, yeah.
I believe he's got to be the only player running a, how do I want to phrase it?
Arc-less,
like, there's no customized... wedges. There's no there's no Battle of Yavin Darth Vaders out there. So he creates the only doubled up of a pilot in the top 16 that's flying a different ship. And as a note, take note, this is something I knew. V-Wing Oddball has a torpedo slot for plasma torpedoes. So, I mean, a little risky, but, I mean, born for this, you know? SOC arcs, or the SOC torrents backing him up.
Yeah.
Is this the swarm tactics? Yeah, there's some real shenanigans. We'll have to really break down this one, because people, I think, are missing out on what you can do. Not arc, non-arc republic.
Arcless Republic.
Yeah. Arcless Republic. Start taking notes. When those arc nerfs hit, start taking notes on those V-Wings.
Oh boy, they coming.
I don't know this moniker for the...
Which one?
Hera A with B-Wings. Hera A with B-Wings. Who is this?
Brandon Kading.
Brandon Kading.
That's S2B, TIE, X-Wing, A-Wing.
Brandon Kane. I'm not as familiar with this person.
Pretty solid player.
The Latour? Or is it a different one?
No, that's the Lote.
No. The Rebel list here. Brandon did an excellent job rocking those new Battle Over Endor B-Wings. Ugh.
Yeah, you know, I wish I could fly. Flying something. Maybe it's pretty good.
It's good. It's pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah,
I think him and Paul were the only two B-wings in the cut.
In the cut, yeah, yeah. Well, there wasn't too many rebels. So, but yeah, accidentally done. I don't know how to fly these B-wings. I wish I could learn.
I wish I knew. I tried so hard.
We're gonna have to dissect them, but Brandon did an excellent job. Getting all the way to the top 16. Like I said, we're gonna be diving deep into the list. Why they worked? Why they didn't work? How did you find success? Maybe even reviewing. This is the best thing about Roll Better is that we could just say, Paul Heaver, who'd you play against?
What was your matchups? Yeah.
Can I see your matchups? We can check out your points during your matchups. Things like Drew against Triple Arc, not surprising because. Later on, eventually ended up losing, drawing and losing to Triple Arc as well. So I'm sure we'll find some correlations between pilot success and their, ability to do well. Which I guess maybe that's the same thing. Maybe it's not. Special shout out. Mega Silver, A-Team XTC alumni, brings a Hera B-Wing and gets top 18. I can't even with Tommy. What are you doing, Tommy? He's like, Edra Bridger in his Hera B-Wing. Ryan, have you seen this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Give force to I-6 B-Wing, lock, and do big damage. There's three I-6s there. And it kill away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't and stop.
For anything else that lives, Luke, to destroy that thing.
Yeah, jeez. But like I said, we could go on and on about these amazing plays. An amazing time at the old.
Yeah. I know Tommy said that he wanted to be on stream. Sorry. I'm sorry that we were all not able to grab them.
I would have loved to have a bunch of people on stream. You have no idea. Well, I'd love to. Yeah.
There were several people that wanted to be on stream, and it didn't line up the way that sometimes it just didn't line up. We're sorry. We have to make decisions and choices to get the best games on stream as we possibly can to give that person at home the best viewing experience as possible and the best share of the different factions and list archetypes.
Fair enough. All right, well, we're hitting that 2-hour mark.
Yeah.
We got closing thoughts for tonight. Marcel, got any closing thoughts on Worlds as a whole?
Nope. I think we all, at least for me, like, just talked at length at the beginning. Just good people. Once a year just doesn't feel enough. That's probably the biggest thing for me is I walked out of that weekend or this weekend just trying in my head to make out, like, what's the best way to do this more often? LVO, I do LVO every year, so that's. But last year I didn't do Nova. I didn't do PAX? Is it PAX, the Philly one? I didn't do PAX. I didn't do Nova. I don't think I'll ever do Gen Con again. The last time I was there was just a complete disappointment. But definitely hoping to do something in Canada this year. Definitely hoping to find a way that to get out to one of the European tournaments, whether it's you know, in the center of Europe or one of the UK ones. But I think that's like my personal biggest takeaway is once or twice a year for X-Wing to hang out with like the broader community just doesn't fill the it's fun, but it's not enough. So I need a little more.
I like it. James, any closing thoughts on the world's experience?
We will be talking more at length about both the X-Wing list, the players, our insights, and any kind of info coming out of Worlds in the next couple of weeks and or months. So Will and I were doing some investigatory, and I think both of us are on the train that we suspect and are thinking that we will hopefully see a announcement out of AMG, the AMG team, for X-Wing within the next month, hopefully in time for May the 4th. That's what we're aiming for.
We'll see.
Based on previous investigations, that's what I'm aiming for.
That's all right. You heard it. AMG is giving you a deadline. All right.
I'm not no deadline at all. just based off of previous speculation.
Blame James, deadline given. No, it's Evan,
it's not even our timeline. It's last year's timeline.
It's last year's timeline.
Was Star Champs announced in April and points in May. But we just got points, so I don't know how that means anything.
They're soft points.
Necessary points?
Yeah, no pilot points changed. It was only loadout, and we were only given the pilot points for Endor.
Right.
It's true, it was only loadout. I didn't even thought about it that way.
Nope. Yeah.
Soft points, that's what I said.
Upgrades are the problem. Ban them.
Ban all upgrades. You want a customizable pilot? No upgrades.
No upgrades. Only upgrades. You only get one pilot card.
SLs if it's, only. If it's an SL. Whenever sequels get two more scenarios and then prequel gets one, we could run the all SLs for fun.
Yeah, no scum.
No, there are scum SLs. Yeah. You get one dash
one limo, one dash. Got them.
You can't run them both because they both have the outrated tile. Sorry. No. That is interesting. Who knows what the future can hold?
I know. Yeah, I think we were talking in another chat about Bizarro World where we could see standard loadout only mode, like format.
I'm not sure.
I think we're approaching enough.
It's not even Bizarro World. They did it at Las Vegas, standard loadout only.
That's right. They definitely did.
They tried it out. People had mixed opinions on it, we'll say.
And that was without Bo as well.
It was without Bo. Interesting.
So I think with Bo and Boy, that there is enough in Rebel and Empire to build a like to Quite have thoughtful list building for standalone only.
Interesting. Well, that was quite the final thoughts. sorry. Ryan. Give me, you don't have to. Do you have any closing thoughts on the world's event?
No, besides just, it was great to see everyone. Look forward to seeing people in future events. Hope everyone had a safe travel back home. And fewer people got any amount of con crud than... Hopefully, there's less people sick than people that are sick from con crud. I haven't got any of it. I've heard of people that have, unfortunately. So, I hope everyone's doing well and home and safe and are excited for more X-Wing in their near future. Yeah.
Nick's car got con crud.
Nick's car, a casualty of the event. that is very much
out
true.
Back.
Out back, yeah.
Got him. They want to know he has a Subaru Outback.
Yeah, I got a little bit. I can still feel it. My throat is hurting, but
my throat is sore, but not nearly as bad as I was from LVO.
Yeah, fair. A lot of yelling, a lot of accusations. While there's somehow wild accusations with Marcel, then look over to see Ryan quietly pondering a mountain that he was slowly building with his friends. So what a duality of
situation. The climbers game.
The
that
climbers
was fun.
Game.
Screaming
accusations wildly. I then would be like, okay, accusations, calm down. And it's just that you guys were inching closer and closer, by the way. All of you guys had your elbows on the table. But when you guys were at like max height, fascinating.
Oh yeah,
to watch Ryan.
The block tower was getting up. Is it, yeah.
I was like, that game's still, me and Doug were like, that game's still going on. I'm fascinated. You guys are all so close to the top, I have no idea who's gonna win. Yeah.
It was fun.
That's the I think that's the duality of X-Wing as well, where you had to take that big excitement with the kind of low. So even if we are in a low, glad to see that we got some low. We just got a brand new expansion, but and new points. But it's great to see that, you know, these highs in X-Wing still to combat if we do have to weather some lows for a while. But I'm still excited. Like I said, brand new expansion. We barely even tapped into the scenario, all of the pilots, Aiden Fox. I'm like building Aiden Fox list to try to get him 3 agility. I don't know how.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah. I mean, I know how, but I don't know how the list is gonna work. But
Aiden Fox, I'm here for it.
If I said that's a 3 agility B-wing, you'd be like, I'm literally shooting anything else. I even know what. I don't
what
know
else
what
do
that
you have?
Is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he also gets rerolls. Yeah, definitely not. A 4 agility B-wing? No, I'm out. Literally any other shot you're going to give me.
Look, it doesn't have shield upgrade like the other B-wings. It's only 8 health.
I know. It's only
yeah,
8 health.
It's got Procket. It's fine. Just ignore it. Don't worry about it.
Just ignore this B-wing that has a Procket.
Don't worry about the Lando Falcon and coordinate him to I-6.
Yeah, don't worry about it. It's fine. So yeah, I'm just excited. Like I said, there's a lot of doom and gloom. A lot of, we'll say, hopelessness.
I'd argue
out there.
There's not much doom and gloom left over after this world.
I hope
there's
not.
There's a little bit of pessimisticity.
Wow. Sure.
I'm not gonna say no to. Well, doom and gloom is like it sounds it's like a, we're talking extremes. Doom and gloom.
Yeah,
is
that's
extreme.
Probably a little much. Right?
Yeah. No. I, well,
no,
people who
yeah,
are
there's no extremes on either end.
I basically think pessimists will be pessimists and optimists will be optimists. That's
pessimists
it.
Pessimists will be yeah, true. Like I said, just fair. I think Greg hit the nail on the head, like I said before.
Yeah, watch
yeah.
The
in his
yeah.
commentary.
Good
just,
job, Greg.
Just go watch that. That's kind of go watch that. That's kind of like
yeah.
where I feel.
I think Greg really did encapsulate all the feels into that one video. In that one video,
I like it.
Yeah, I've
like
got it queued up to watch after we're done.
Oh, you definitely should. Yeah, yeah.
You should.
I'm gonna watch it and then I'm gonna give Greg my critique in Nickel City chat.
Let him know how wrong he is.
All I don't even know what he's talking about yet.
All these opinions
really
are terrible.
So I don't know how it's wrong if it's wholesome. So
yeah. Probably
it's
not.
Very wholesome.
No.
Oh, no, it's, probably too wholesome. Probably too wholesome for Greg, to be honest. I don't know how he kept it together and not laughing the whole time.
Speaking of wholesome.
I still get to hold this. Maintain my position barely as highest record in GSP at Worlds.
You're well done. Honestly, to both of you guys.
I super didn't do as good as this year as I did last year. I feel way better about last year's event than this year's. But I still have it.
I mean, that's you. Both of you and anybody who got to play in the event should feel honored. It was an invite-only event. You had to be on the list to even attend the event, which is not normal in X-Wing. It might be one of the very few events of the year that is invite only.
Honestly, I saw plenty of people who I would consider to be top tier players not make day two. X-Wing is hard. We brought the best players into one event, and if you made day two, you should still be proud.
Yeah, I mean, someone was saying, like, over 400 unique players between the LCQ and the main event, the Worlds.
Yeah, just over 400.
Championship. Like, that's crazy. So, to be a part of that, hopefully, if you weren't able to make it in person, hopefully you were able to catch some of the videos all with us while casting. They are free right now for a limited time. I will say, for a limited time, you can go back and watch them, no problem. But we're going to start editing them using that footage. I got a bunch of plans. I want to make a highlight reel starting back at the 2016 Worlds, where GSP attended and recorded a game, apparently. This was new information to me. So, it's going to be a lot of fun collecting that. Like I said, I got a highlight reel of more and the crowd shot. I loved the crowd shot. I'm glad we were able to organize that. It actually worked without anybody being I don't know, too much for that crowd shot, but that's definitely, it was great to include that. 4 days of X-Wing, I agree, Marceau, wasn't enough. More. M-O-A-R.
More.
Anyways, let's get out of here.
With a lot more food.
More food.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Fuel yourselves.
Did you want to raid the Mr. 312?
Is he back online? I thought he left.
He said he online. Is just chatting.
Well, we're about to go hang out with him. For everybody listening to the audio version of this, we are live normally on Mondays, not this Monday, but normally we're live on Mondays. Me and James hang out on Wednesdays for the stream playing different games. So definitely check that out. And hopefully we can, we'll announce some more events, because trust me, I got that juvenation in me as well. Or what do you keep calling
rejuvenated.
It? What do you call it? You got the vigor in you?
Get the vigor. You get revigorated.
I lost my vigor, and now we're revigorated.
Also check out.
I can't.
Yeah. Also check out. I did cut and edit together the Will Schick interview. It's on our Twitch videos as well.
Yes, I saw you. I saw you out there highlighting it.
I'd highlight it.
Cool. Maybe I could just take that edit. Oh, man.
I did my best with Twitch. The tools that Twitch gave me.
You know what? Either way. So definitely check that out. Should be having... I think I need to knock out the back catalog first. I'm going to try to do that this weekend. Get them posted ASAP for at least what I have access to. But we still have a backlog of tournaments. I do have, hopefully, the recovered St. Lawrence World Open accessible. We got LVO as well that we can dig out. Might be even find those missing game. Where the heck did the finals go for the Golden State games? I believe there's
some of our Canadian friends who have been asking about that St. Lawrence, so they'll be happy to hear that.
Yes. Like I said, Dion was kind enough to allow me to access to the laptop, so hopefully I can push out more and more of these videos, including, of course, all the games from World. So definitely be checking out the YouTube for that in the future. But for now, for everybody at Gold Squadron, it's great seeing you, great hearing from you. We love you all. Stay safe, stay smart. Gold Squadron.
Thank you to ISO, Danko, Baffle, Trojan, Prophet, Shadow, Tycho, Spice, Raider, Lancer, Fallen, Row 6, 626, Chief, and J-List, our Grand Admiral patrons. And all of our Gold Squadron patrons and community members, thank you for your support. Gold Squadron out.